and Americans for the Arts.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Coming up today, we're in here Florida this week from this past Friday night on WEDU-TV. It's a program about state and local politics. And first, we're going to hear three listener comments about last Friday's program. Last Friday, we were talking about the Democratic debate that took place in Houston the night before. Here's what three listeners had to say.
I am Jeff from Dunedin. Last evening, I wanted to hear one of the candidates ask why, with all the polling done saying that most Americans want assault weapons banned, and the fact that even a lot of NRA members want better checks, why the dark money that apparently the folks in the Senate have taken and allegedly signed oaths saying they will not go after these things, why they don't do the will of the people.
Even in St. Pete, I was just listening to the show today, and I wanted to make my comments on the debate. You know, the DNC needs to move with this Joe Biden issue, and I challenge anybody to listen to any of his speeches for the last 30 days. The man cannot make coherent statements. The man is disintegrating before our eyes mentally. And I don't hate Joe Biden, but Joe Biden has absolutely no business running for the president of the United States. And I take people back a little bit historically when Ronald Reagan was running for a second term. The similarities are unbelievable. And he is not fit to run. And the DNC needs to move on this. Now, it's going to be a three-people race: Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. If Bernie Sanders is not the nominee or the VP, it's real simple. You have four more years of Trump.
This is Kevin in Bradenton. Just wanted to leave a quick message about the AR-15 debate. I believe that anyone who thinks that the dang government is going to come and take their guns away actually needs to be a little more firmly planted into reality. The other thing I find laughable about that is that these are the same people who, because they believe that, because they actually believe, I guess they believe this, then they're willing to use that belief to justify the fact that all these innocent people are slaughtered on a regular basis in this country. So I hope people wake up. And my personal belief is that if they showed some of the carnage, as horrifying as it would be for the victims' families, I do believe it would make some of these people wake up about what the hell is going on in this country.
Some listener comments that came in over the weekend, all about Friday's Radioactivity show. We had a great event on Saturday night. Hope you were there. The WMNF birthday bash at the Coliseum. And thank you if you came out. That was really a terrific party, wasn't it? We got some sad news over the weekend, though. One of our longtime listener sponsors, Vicki Pollier, passed away peacefully at home. She had been suffering from an illness for a long time, but Vicki was a stalwart in the South Tampa community. She was a community activist, very involved in preserving her neighborhood. And she was a longtime listener to WMNF. She was one of the nicest persons that you'll ever meet. And we're sad to see her go. And Archie, our best goes out to you. Well, coming up today, we're going to hear Florida This Week from this past Friday night. And it's a program about state and local politics. And this program features two Democrats and two Republicans. So here is Florida This Week from this past Friday night. Coming up next, the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian has taken a huge toll on both humans and the environment. Publix tells customers not to carry guns in its stores. The governor suggests increased fines for polluters, and the attorney general is trying to stop the recreational marijuana amendment. Political insights next on Florida This Week.
Welcome back. This week, our panelists are Vic DiMaio is a political consultant and a Democrat. Chris Ingram is a political consultant and a political analyst for Bay News 9 and a Republican. Natalie King is a political consultant with RSA Consulting and a Republican. And Estella Gray is the communications director at the Hillsborough State Attorney's Office and a Democrat. Well, so nice to have you all here. Well, hundreds of people are still missing, 2 weeks after Hurricane Dorian flattened parts of the northern Bahamas.
No one knows how high the death toll is. Tens of thousands of people are still homeless. Some of the survivors are fleeing the island, and one of their destinations is Florida. The Trump administration has said it will not grant the Bahamian refugees temporary protected status. On top of the human toll, now there's a major environmental problem. Oil has spilled from a storage facility on Grand Bahama. The company that runs the terminal has begun cleanup, but oil has seeped into the ground, and some residents say it's in the municipal water system. Initial reports were that the oil had spread to the ocean, but those reports have not been confirmed.
So, Estella, welcome to the show. The president says we're not going to give temporary protected status to these folks. We've done it in the past to people from Haiti. What do you make of that?
One, what's happening in the northern Bahamas is a humanitarian crisis. No other way around it. I think the American people, especially in Florida, have demonstrated overwhelmingly response and support to the Bahamian people. But I also think that this administration has been very clear from day one. Now, in 2010, the Obama administration did maybe allow about 60,000 Haitians temporary status in the United States. But this administration has been clear from day one about its thoughts on that, and it's not changed at all. Mm-hmm. So I'm not shocked.
Chris, what do you mean?
I would say from a humanitarian standpoint, it's important that the American people and the president leading us shows everything we can to do to help the Bahamian people during their suffering. I'm not sure about the statistics in terms of, for example, the 60,000 people that you referenced, how many of them actually went back. And I think that's probably the president's number one concern. But if he's going to do that, he needs to make it clear in his communications to the American people what we are doing from a humanitarian standpoint to help these people in their time of need.
Do you think we're doing enough?
I think we'd probably do more, but, you know, it's always that way. It doesn't matter where it is, if it's here in Florida or if it's in Puerto Rico or the Bahamas or anywhere in between. We can always be doing more, or at least the public perception is that you can be doing more to help people in their time of need. But I think if you look back at various different tragedies and disasters over the years, by and large, our people, the American people, generally do a good job at responding to these events.
Victor, given how close the Bahamas are to Florida and how many times people from Florida go over to the Bahamas and how many Bahamians live here who still have relatives back on the island chain, what do you make of this?
Exactly, and I think it's a tragedy. All you have to do is look on television and see the fact that these people lost everything. I mean, they don't even have tents to live in. I mean, they were just, it's almost like somebody took and wiped them off the face of the earth. And some of these, some of these shanty towns that were in the Bahamas, you know, they weren't really built very well to begin with. They were built with cardboard and tin roofs. So, but I do have to take issue with President Trump. Because, you know, these people need a place to stay quick. And, you know, that's what temporary protective status is for, for people that have an issue that they need to be here temporarily, and then while they can put something together for them to go back to, because that's what's sad, they don't have nothing, they have nowhere to live. So at least come here temporarily, we can absorb a little bit of people here in Florida, and because they're, you're right, I have to agree with Chris on that issue too, they're right next door, and then, you know, why can't we give them a little bit more help?
Natalie, what do you think? For years, we gave refuge to Cubans who were fleeing the island for different reasons, though, but they came here and they enriched the state of Florida.
No, we've actually given a lot of refuge to many countries, whether it be El Salvador, Haiti, the Sudan, Nicaragua. I think we do have, as a community, as a state, as a country, we have lent our hand to those in support when they're in tragedy. I do think that we have to be mindful, though, of the TPS is not intended to be a long-term solution. It's intended to be a short-term fix for those in crisis, and I think we have to also consider some of the bigger picture issues that the president is weighing in the decision-making process. For example, right now there's a lawsuit that has been waged by the American Civil Liberties Union to stop those that have been here for long periods of time from being sent back. And you know, there's a lot of question about if there's a temporary TPS in place, is it really temporary?
Do they become permanent?
Or does it become permanent? Yeah. And so where, what point does that permanency become the issue, not the fact that there is a urgent crisis? I mean, you made the comment about, you know, the way the island was. I mean, it's as though the earth is trying to consume the island back almost, and it's a very, very sad situation.
One last question. Is this the new normal? I mean, and there may be some Al Gore opponents on this panel, or Al Gore supporters on this panel. Al Gore, when he came out with his first movie more than a decade ago, predicted that this was what was going to happen, that we were going to see stronger hurricanes and more people forced to flee their homeland based on climate change.
Al Gore's propaganda has nothing to do with what we're seeing here today. Look, we've talked about things like sea level rise a lot here in the last few years. Sea levels have been rising for tens of millions of years. The Gulf Coast in Florida, the west coast of Florida, right here off of our beautiful beaches in St. Petersburg, used to be 100 miles out. And what happened? Well, the sea levels rose, and then they fell, and then they rose, and they fell, and that's where they are today. Now, is sea level rise a problem? Certainly, and it is a threat to our society. But is society to blame for sea level rise? Absolutely not. This is a pattern that happens over the course naturally of the evolution of our planet.
Okay, no man-made connection.
I disagree with my friend, Mr. Ingham, because this is a classic Republican line. One is to stoke fear to the public, which is, you know, Donald Trump's forte, because if they come here, we can't get rid of them. This is all part of the border wall and all that other crap. And then I hate to say it, the vast majority of people believe there is global warming. Every scientist in the world has documented the fact that the world is getting warmer. It may be 1 or 2 degrees, but it's causing hurricanes are the Earth's teapot.
And when I'm not arguing global warming exists, Victor. I'm saying that this is not necessarily a man-made phenomenon.
The only way for that heat to escape the ocean to cool the planet, that's what a hurricane is all about. It's like a release of heat from the ocean, and that's why they are getting stronger, and we're seeing these Category 5 storms. And I'm sorry, you guys can talk about the Republican line all you want, but it's just not, nobody's buying it. It's not true. It's fake.
But didn't we have the same conversation? I mean, growing up in high school, I lived in California, and it was the ozone layer.
Yeah,
and hasn't that, and the sky was falling.
And that's happening as well.
And we weren't going to be allowed to use Aquanet anymore, or the aerosol sprays. I mean, isn't that the same conversation that I had through my elementary and junior high and high school? And
Absolutely. One scare tactic to another. This is what the left loves to do.
But does the right like to ignore science?
No, we're not ignoring science. I'm just saying that I don't think that global warming per se is a man-made phenomenon that we can control, or we can reduce certain things to make global warming just disappear. Is it a contributing factor?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. But again, sea level rise, hurricanes, all of these different weather phenomenons, they're naturally occurring, folks.
But Stella, didn't we stop the kind of refrigerants that cause ozone depletion, and now the ozone layer is coming back? Because when we use our air conditioners today, we're using a different refrigerant now than we used 20 years ago.
No, I do agree with the cycle of evolution of, let's say, weathering and climate, but I also believe that human interaction, whether it is development, whether it is global warming, it's real. And we cannot ignore the science. We can't, like you mentioned earlier, that for millions of years that the beaches have been receding or coming closer. Have we seen sea level lowering? Have we seen the sea level raise on its own naturally? We haven't.
Oh, sure. I mean, over the course of history, the Gulf and Florida's west coast, sometimes it was like it was today. Sometimes it was 100 miles out. Sometimes it was 80 miles out. I mean, it certainly evolved and fluctuated a lot over the years.
Okay, well,
Fort Lauderdale and Miami.
All right, I got a report from USF. I can send it to them.
It looks like we're not going to solve this problem today. Well, the giant grocery store chain Publix, based in Lakeland, this week joined a growing number of retail stores asking customers not to openly carry firearms in their stores, even when it's legal. The new policy comes a week after other chains, including Walmart, Target, and Kroger's, asked customers not to openly carry weapons in their stores. The announcement follows the recent mass shooting at a Walmart in El Paso and the mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio. In Florida, civilians generally are not allowed to open carry weapons. However, millions of Floridians have concealed weapons permits, so it can be hard to tell who here is or is not armed. Publix has stores across several other southern states where open carry is allowed. It's not clear how Publix employees will treat a customer who violates the policy. So, Natalie, is this a good move by Publix?
I think as a private industry and a private business, I think it's, you know, for them to make the decisions on how they want to operate and the rules that they want to install within their organization. I think Walmart, Costco, Walgreens, Target, I think as free market goes, that's for them to make that decision. I think that the differentiating verbiage here is that it's open carry. I'll be quite frankly, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment, but I would be uncomfortable walking into a store and seeing someone carrying a gun because you don't know the difference. However, I think that there's a clarification that this is not about concealed carry, however. And I think that by making grocery stores and other public spaces gun-free zones, I think you only invite some of the same issues that we've had in other gun-free zones. And so, but I understand the hysteria, and I understand the response of a Publix or a Target or a Costco to make these decisions. The fact of the matter is here in Florida, which is where Publix is based out of, and most of their stores are, it's a non-issue. We don't have laws that permit open carry here in the state anyway. So this will apply more in their Alabama stores and their North Carolina stores than here in Florida.
So would it be fair to say that you think that gun-free zones make those areas a target for mass shooters?
I think they can.
Sure.
Estella, what do you think?
One, the use of the term hysteria to me kind of discounts what happens to people during a mass shooting. The idea that when someone is faced with a shooter and killing 17 people in South Florida at that school is hysteria, that's actually real life. I think it's a great call. I think that Publix has heard the national cry, the outcry, until the lawmakers are going to reform certain gun laws or push back gun lobby. I think it may be a PR move. I'm just being honest.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that also. It's absolutely, this is a PR move. This isn't going to save any lives. It's not going to change anything about gun regulations. This is Publix trying to get ahead of the ball in a PR operation. And I think that it's foolish of them because, if Publix wants to all of a sudden be this great community citizen, which I'm not saying that they aren't, but if they want to start getting involved into societal and political issues like that, you know, maybe they ought to stop selling OxyContin. Maybe they ought to stop selling fatty foods. Maybe they ought to stop selling cigarettes. There are a lot of things that Publix could do if it looked within itself about, what can we do to help make society a better place? And delving into these issues just opens up an ugly can of worms for them.
My brother lives in an open carry state, which is Texas, yeah. And people there, to flaunt the law, they come into the grocery stores with AK-47s, yeah, strapped on their thing. And the last thing I want to see when I go to shopping in Publix is some gun nut with an AK-47, yeah, who may go off while I'm trying to shop for my, baked beans or something, and that can happen. See, this is where this is a fight that the Republican Party versus the Democratic Party and the NRA has for common sense. And the polls are showing overwhelmingly right now, since all these tragedies have happened, that people want some sort of sensible gun control. And that includes, and I don't know why this still doesn't happen, and Ashley Moody said it when she said her grandpappy gave her a gun, and now she's got to register because it can shoot 10 bullets at one time. Well, if grandpappy gave me a car, I've got to register that damn thing with the state.
And get insurance for it.
And get insurance. And the government's telling me what to do with my car, and that could kill somebody just like a gun can.
Natalie, the whole thing about Publix really puts the employees of Publix in a kind of tough position, because let's say somebody walks in with a gun in an open carry state, and they walk in with a gun slung over their shoulder, and you've got the lettuce clerk there, or the cashier. What are they going to do? I mean, they're not really equipped to stand up to somebody with an AK-47 and say, get out of here.
They're not, and nor are any other stores that have put this policy in place. And I think, short of putting a security guard at the front door, having metal detectors, basically having, clear bags as you come through, there's not going to be a preventative measure that is going to assure that there is no possible way that somebody is going to experience the tragedy of somebody making a bad decision to use a firearm in a dangerous way. So, I mean, we, at the end of the day, as public, we are, every place we go, whether it's a movie theater, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's a public park, there is going to be that risk. At what point can a private business assure our safety to that level?
And this is, I want to make one quick point, and this is a fallacy of the law. I don't see why, when I bought the car or the gun, when the car's got to be registered, why there's no gun checks or no background checks at gun shows on private sales. There's no reason why you can't do gun checks or background checks on doing private sales or doing the gun shows that are prevalent throughout. And everybody knows, you want to buy a gun and you have a bad record, go to a gun show. You can buy it. They don't check
well,
you.
Well, that's really the point of this whole thing of nonsense about what Publix is trying to do. Do you really think that criminals and the type of person that wants to do ill will to other people is going to care what Publix's policy is, much less the law? If they want to carry a gun wherever they want to carry it, they're going to carry it.
All right, we'll see what happens. Governor Ron DeSantis will ask the state legislature to soon increase fines for local governments that pollute state waters. He says he wants fines for municipalities that pollute waterways with improperly treated sewage to increase by 50% and to allow the Department of Environmental Protection to issue daily fines. He did say that some cities see it as a cost of doing business, and the higher fines might help prevent that. Recently, there have been sewage spills totaling hundreds of millions of gallons across the Bay Area in Sarasota, Clearwater, Tampa, and St. Petersburg as heavy rains and an aging infrastructure overwhelm wastewater systems. Some of the worst spills have been in St. Petersburg, where in the past few years, a huge amount of wastewater was either released into Tampa Bay or discharged into neighborhoods, into waterways, or pumped underground. So, Victor, is this the right approach? I mean, should we be stepping up the fines in these communities, or is there a better approach to trying to solve this problem?
Well, no, I think part of this is for show, because, frankly, we all know, the most highly publicized dumping in the Bay has been from St. Pete and Rick Christman, and there's a very prevalent rumor going around out there that there's a possibility that he could run for governor. So it's a great opportunity for the governor to come out showing his environmental creds and saying, you know, I'm going to beat up on the bad guys, mm-hmm. and kind of shame, you know, Christman and doing it. But what you said in the piece is true. I mean, it's not just Christman. I mean, every city here, including Tampa, my own hometown, has dumped water in the Bay, because when we get a lot of rain, for whatever reason, it goes in the sewer and wastewater, and it gets pumped out. It's just overwhelming. The municipalities cannot handle all that water, and they have to dump it out.
Natalie, is this a preemptive strike by DeSantis against Christman if Christman wants to run for governor?
I don't think so, but I do think that shining the light on this is important. I think that, you know, Kreisman can come back and point out that over the last 3 years, they've spent $250 million on infrastructure. They're 3 years into a five-year strategy, and so far it seems to be working. So, you know, if it was just an attack on him, it would be, you know, I think he has an answer to some of that critique. Mm-hmm. But I do think that as the tool in the toolbox to try to stem the bad decision-making and the bad acts that are happening, that not only is doubling the fines important, I think that there should be more criminal action. Absolutely. Against those that, you know, have been found to have intentionally or negligently caused these issues in our community. This is affecting our water quality. You know, we don't know where all of the answers lie with red tide, the bacteria, flesh-eating stuff that we're dealing with. As a community, we should all be concerned about how our waterways are being treated.
Absolutely. And Chris, Stella, you want to go first?
I appreciate the governor's sentiment, and I think everyone does. But I think something that's missing in the dialogue is long-term impact. How are we funding infrastructure for these old systems? Right. Mm-hmm. And so when local governments go to Tallahassee, and it's not necessarily a governor thing, it depends on who's in that office, and they ask the legislature to fund these retrofits and they magically disappear from the budget, we got to talk about that.
So spend more money on infrastructure, not necessarily on finding these.
Estella's absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. Unfortunately, that's a function of our political system. Whether it's Republicans or Democrats, we're going to have that occurring. What I'm most concerned about is the fact that we're being critical and speculative based on rumors that somehow the governor's action, which is otherwise a very responsible environmental reaction to a continuing problem that a lot of municipalities have in a large part because of their own negligence. And if we substituted the name Governor Ron DeSantis with Governor Andrew Gillum, the left and the environmentalists and the media would not be having this discussion right now with the criticism of Governor DeSantis for doing what otherwise is a very prudent thing to be doing.
Well, it's going to cost a lot, because here in Tampa, they're going to double our water bills. They just passed the city council. It's going to cost almost $1 billion.
Because the infrastructure problems have been built for decades.
Right. Pipes it's been ignored.
Yeah, ignored.
It's really a problem that's existed
Tampa
for a long time because
of
negligence.
Yeah.
Right.
But those concerns are not just at the state level. I mean, how is our money has been collected and spent at the city and the county level.
Right.
Okay. Well, Attorney General Ashley Moody wants the Florida Supreme Court to block a proposed constitutional amendment that would legalize recreational marijuana, saying the measure would be misleading to voters. The political committee backing the idea, Sensible Florida, has submitted 89,000 valid petition signatures to the state, enough to trigger a review of the proposed ballot wording by the Supreme Court. If the court signs off on the wording and the committee submits a total of 766,000 valid signatures by February of next year, the amendment would go on the November 2020 ballot. But Moody announced this week that she will challenge the proposal, at least in part, because it is 10 pages long. The Supreme Court will review whether the ballot title and summary, which must be held to 75 words, those are the parts of the proposal that voters will see at the polls, are clear and meet other legal tests. Moody says there's no way 10 pages of law can be summarized clearly in 75 words or less and would adequately convey to the voters what exactly they'll be voting on. Moody is also challenging another proposed constitutional amendment, the one that would ban assault weapons, which backers want to also see on next year's ballot. So, Chris, is the Attorney General right that you can't distill 10 pages down to 75 words, or is she trying to discourage those people that are pro-marijuana from showing up to polls next November?
Perhaps a little of both. I think that the whole matter in which we put things on the ballot in the state of Florida, whether it's a citizen initiative like this one is or by the legislature, you basically have two different rules for getting those initiatives on the ballot, or the initiative versus the legislative amendment, and that's really unfair, and I think that we need to go and take a real hard look at how we do these things from both standpoints here in the state of Florida. As it relates to marijuana, I think that Ms. Moody is doing her job, and I have a lot of respect for her, but she's doing her job. Part of it is politics, and part of it is just upholding the law and reviewing and making sure things are done appropriately. But I think the train has left the station as it relates to marijuana, medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, and the people of the state of Florida are ready for this, as they are across the United States and so many different states. And I understand why a lot of politicians feel like they still need to put up that good fight, but really, let's focus on some more important things, because I think the public is already really expressed their voice on this. And this was the goal of John Morgan's when he got the medical marijuana thing on the ballot a few years ago, that ultimately was going to lead to this vote on recreational use.
All right, before we go, what other news stories should we be paying attention to? And Chris, let's start with you, your other big story of the week.
Well, we haven't talked a lot about national politics, but John Bolton, the president's national security advisor, he's gone. I've known of him for quite a long time, and I think it's a good thing. Senator Rand Paul had a comment in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and it said something to the effect of, the chance of global warfare has gone down immensely now that John Bolton is no longer in the White House.
Stella, your other big story.
I think the big story this week was MacDill Air Force Base and 78 airmen killing themselves. I think mental health will continue to remain at the forefront of the news cycle, whether it's, I think, National Suicide Prevention Week or Day happened this week. The Crisis Center rolled out a public awareness campaign, so we're going to hear more on that.
Yeah, 78 airmen across the country, a terrible toll. Natalie, your other big story?
I think next week a lot of new stories are going to roll out as the legislative body returns to Tallahassee for their first committee week of this coming session. And I think on Monday we're going to start with a pretty heated conversation. Senator Tom Leed, who's chairing the Infrastructure and Security, has got on the agenda a public safety workshop where they'll be talking about the mass attacks and targeted violence.
Okay. Vic, your other big story.
Well, the Democrats are having their annual dinner this weekend here in Tampa. We've got almost 750 people, which is 250 more than we had last year. And, the last cycle we raised about $500,000 over the last election cycle, and the Republican Party in Hillsborough County is just going in the exact opposite direction. So it's quite amazing how times have changed. You know, we have a majority Democratic County Commission and all Democratic City Council and Mayor, so... And one last thing I want to say, there was a Puerto Rican soldier who passed away in Afghanistan, and I'm personally fighting very hard for statehood for Puerto Rico as one of my issues that I'm fighting for, and it just proves that there are Puerto Ricans who have fought for this country and died for the case of freedom, and I think they should be allowed in after 80-some years of being a territory.
Many, many have died doing their service. Democrats on a roll in Hillsborough County, you guys going to make big money this weekend?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be in the six figures.
All right. Well, thank you all for a great show.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching Florida This Week. Your comments are always welcome. Please write us at ftw@wedu.org. Well, that was Florida This Week from this past Friday night on WEDU-TV, the PBS station in Tampa. We want to get your views on the topics that we discussed. You can email us here in the studio at dj@wmnf.org. You can also call us up, and we'll talk about the program. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Well, just want to tell you a quick traffic problem that's happening in St. Petersburg. A truck has hit an overpass in St. Pete. A large truck traveling on 6th Street South hit the I-75 overpass and caused some concrete to fall. FDOT must check the bridge for structural integrity. Until then, the roads are closed to all traffic on the overpass and under it. So police closed 6th Street South in both directions from 5th Avenue South to 4th Avenue South. Also, eastbound lanes of 175 are closed at the 6th Street South exit. So that's a problem there. Well, what are your thoughts on the show? We had two Democrats on that TV show, Vic DiMaio and Estella Gray, and we had two Republicans, Natalie King and Chris Ingram, and we discussed the Bahamas tragedy, and also with the global warming, is this the new normal? We talked about the public's policy against open carry. We talked about the governor proposing to increase fines on polluters of state waters, especially municipalities that pollute state waters, and also the Attorney General of Florida is trying to block the recreational marijuana amendment from being on the ballot next year in 2020, in November of 2020. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Frank Knox is our phone producer today, and I'll read some of the emails that have come in. Anonymous writes, had to turn the show off on Friday night, Rob. The climate deniers were making my blood boil, writes Anonymous. And David writes this, I'm not surprised that Ashley Moody would go after the recreational cannabis initiative. It would be worth following the money. How many liquor, beer, wine manufacturers, pharmaceutical companies, grocery stores, and large pharmacy companies gave campaign contributions to Moody, writes David. David, thank you for that. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Here's another anonymous email. This person says, tell that brainwashed Republican that acknowledging science is the exact opposite of propaganda. He needs to stop projecting himself onto Al Gore, writes Anonymous. Hope I read that correctly, Anonymous. And then Adam writes this, I noticed that neither of your Republican guests were calling for Cubans to be sent back to Cuba. Yet with Bahamians, their whole stance is, well, we've got to be careful because we don't want these people to stay. Absolutely disgusting. They have no compassion. I would gladly trade your Republican guest for a couple hundred refugees, writes Adam. Now let's go to Dave in Tampa for our first call today. Dave, you're on. What would you like to talk about?
Hey, good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
Slightly off topic, but not really. Did you read yesterday's Tampa Bay Times front page above the fold about Ron DeSantis and his fundraising?
Yeah, where if you paid $100,000 to him, you could play a round of golf with him. And
exactly.
Yeah.
That just to me was an analysis and microcosm of what's wrong with our political system. It's just so brazen. It's bribery. He's selling his public office to the highest bidders, which is Duke Energy and the like, so that he can further his own political career. And you know in the process he's selling out the public interest, too. That, I mean, you just can't be playing golf with those guys and not be agreeing to certain things that aren't in the public interest. And at the very least, they aren't being aired publicly where people have a chance to say what they think, where the public has a chance to input its thoughts and its wishes. Public hearings, you know, the whole what we think of as democracy, it's not happening. And I think that article was just an amazing expose on how bad it's gotten. They're just doing that right out in the open.
Howard Troxler, who used to be the columnist at the Tampa Bay Times, called it legalized bribery, that we've legalized bribery in the state of Florida. Can you imagine, and I agree with you, can you imagine a teacher who sees problems firsthand in the classroom trying to get the governor's ear, but she doesn't have $100,000? Or think of it, the person that's trying to save the Lake Okeechobee, who's maybe a fishing guide in South Florida, and they want to bring back the lake. Well, how do they get the governor's ear if they don't have $100,000? Or, you know, name your problem. If you're trying to protect your community from new toll roads and you like your peaceful little community and you don't want toll roads going through, but you don't have the $100,000 to give the governor to play a round of golf with them, how do you have access? How do you have access to your governor? And yet you know that there are people and there are corporate interests here that have that $100,000 and they can buy their time with the governor, but you can't do it. Yet you see problems firsthand.
Right. And that means the fix is in, too. Even if you had the money, the fix is in. These guys, you can't outspend Duke Energy. They're, I mean, $100,000 a head to play golf. What Duke Energy wants, even if you could get in front of them, let's say you could put $50,000 up, right? You're still going to lose. It's so perverted.
Yeah, well, nobody who sees these problems firsthand from the grassroots has that $100,000. All of us that
right.
drive the roads, that we fish, that we kayak, we see the pollution problems, we have kids in school, we teach school, all of us that see those problems, we don't have that $100,000. We're too busy working for a living for, you know, $9, $10, $12, $15 an hour, whatever people get paid, you know, and we're not the fat cats. And yet the governor's willing to meet and play golf with the fat cats.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nero. I just people need to wake up to this.
And well, I think people are awake. I think the problem is that the legislature is completely impervious because of gerrymandering, and they don't care.
Yeah.
They are impervious to you because they are impervious to you because they run on cash, they run on this legalized bribery, and they don't have to listen to you, and they're safe because they've gerrymandered the thing.
Yeah, it's very apparent.
All right, Dave, yep, thanks a lot. All right, 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, I had a couple other points, but you just made me think about something about the whatever, the $100,000 you have to give to the governor to play a round of golf. Well, you're also forced to give to his campaign. So if you're an organization, let's say you're like Greenpeace and you can afford the $100,000 for whatever reason.
They cannot afford $100,000.
Well,
trust me, John. They cannot afford $100,000.
Okay.
Give that up.
Okay.
Leave that aside.
Okay. I'm just saying that if an organization that is opposed to DeSantis's policies want to talk to him, they have to contribute to his campaign, which I think is wrong. So I think that's just a little thought there. But something else I was thinking, and this is one of my points that I've been hearing on, that I've been harping on for a long time, because I hear this on conservative radio. It's what Chris was saying about, well, you know, the shores have been 100 miles out, they've been 10 miles out, and that's the same argument, that this is a natural occurrence. And the only way I think that you can counter that argument is come up with a good scientific reason of why these things have been, or why those things happen naturally, and show how climate or man-made activity is exacerbating that or creating it. And the third point I had was Natalie, which I thought was interesting. When she was talking about climate change, she didn't believe in the science. She said, I don't know exactly what she said, but basically I got the impression that she didn't believe in the science, that this is a natural occurrence, we shouldn't do anything. Then she turns around and says something about the effluents being discharged into the bay, and that's causing flesh-eating bacteria, even though we don't know where it's coming from, but we need to stop that. And I thought, well, you're just contradicting yourself. You said, on one hand, we shouldn't do anything about global warming because there's no scientific evidence of that, and I don't believe in the science. But then on the other hand, you say we should stop doing this when there's no evidence of the flesh-eating bacteria is coming from that point. Just a thought there, Rob.
All right. John, thank you. Thank you for your call. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. You know, if it's not man-made carbon dioxide emissions into the atmosphere that have caused hurricanes in the last 40 years to grow stronger and more damaging, and we have more hurricanes too, and if it's not man-made carbon dioxide emissions that have caused sea level rises in the last few years, what is causing it? I mean, I think the climate deniers that think that, well, it's not man-made. Well, then why is the climate changing? I think they owe that to us to tell us what they think is causing climate change. They might think it's volcanoes. They might think it's methane from cows. I don't know. But I think they owe it to us to tell us, well, what's causing this? If you don't think that it's all this carbon dioxide that is recorded and is at record highs, certainly historic record highs, then what is it if it's not man-made? 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and Elijah writes this. If the Trump administration will not grant the hurricane victims temporary protected status, I believe that the Bahamian government should ban any and all tourism to the island by any and all non-natives, and basically just ban Americans who want a vacation for leisure, writes Elijah. Elijah, thank you for that. And then Tim writes this, I can hardly believe what I'm hearing from these people. Man's abuse of the planet and atmosphere has had nothing to do with climate change? Question mark. The right wing is just becoming more and more bizarre, writes Tim. Tim, thank you for that. And let's go back to the phones. And if you want to call in and disagree with anything you've heard or agree, you can call us up 813-239-9663. Let's go to Derek in Sarasota. Derek, thanks for calling in.
Hi there. Yeah, I think it's, sorry to be a broken record here, but yeah, I think it's just flabbergasting that there's still people that are considering climate change not human-induced, although I do believe that climate change is definitely a natural cycle that happens. It's just amazing that human beings can dismiss the fact that we would have any influence on the climate, considering that we've changed the face of the Earth drastically, specifically by cutting down almost all of the world's old-growth forests. So I really like what you said. So what is causing climate change then? Well, I think that and I hate to generalize, but this Republican mindset is that they just don't want to think about it because it's too far away from them. They're too detached from it. We aren't affected by it on our daily lives because it's such a long-term cycle that it's so hard to really address the situation and say that we can do something about it because it's not like gun issues today where it's like it affects people daily. We see it happening. Whereas over years or decades, this climate change is happening. So I'm just flabbergasted that people are still, we look at the science, what has happened? CO2 levels have risen. And if we look in history, CO2 levels right now are at and surpassing levels during the Carboniferous period, which was about 400 million years ago. During that time, the world was a warm, wet, swampy area, even northern latitude. And so it's just, once again, it's just incredible. I really hope people begin to wake up and take their minds off of, whatever they're preoccupied with and understand that this is not, if it's not for me and you, it's for our children and our children's children. And it's for the sake of humanity. Thanks for listening.
All right, Derek. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. 813-239-9663. Coming up on the Midpoint program today, we'll hear about climate change. We'll hear from a student organizer of the Youth Climate Strike. That's at noon today with Sean Canaan right after this program. And also, Sean's guests will include lawyers from Gulf Coast Legal Services. They'll be talking about how the legal issues for migrants and how they're helping migrants. So we'll hear from Gulf Coast Legal Services, too, as one of the groups that's coming in. Bubba writes this, why can't we separate stormwater from sewage? Wouldn't that help to avoid the problems with sewage spill? We do separate. We have two different systems. We have a sewage system and we have a stormwater system. So we do separate. Sometimes one of the systems gets overwhelmed and it leaks into the other system. But that's how we don't just put stormwater and sewage in together and then let it flow out to the bays and the oceans. We separate the sewage and we treat it. That's the way it's supposed to work. Although our infrastructure is failing us because we haven't invested enough money over the last 100 years on our infrastructure. So we need to think about how to invest in our infrastructure, Bubba. Chip writes this, Chris Ingram is a Republican. Chip calls him a shill with no credibility, writes Chip. And then Chip goes on to say sea level rise, hurricanes and warming are natural events. Therefore, humans cause climate change. Humans don't cause climate change. I think you meant to say Chip is Huey. is absurd. It's all about the speed and scale that the change is happening. I cannot stomach your Republican guest in the future. Whenever he's on your show, I will not be tuning in. I just don't. I think we've got to talk. I think we've got to hear people out and then try to have a thoughtful conversation on reasons why climate change is real. I think we've got to do that. And we can't just kind of go to our corners and say, I'm not going to listen or I'm not going to engage. I don't agree with that. Chip, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Andy in Bradenton. Andy, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I'm just, my organization, Suncoast Waterkeeper, was part of the settlement with St. Petersburg and Gulfport, and a recent settlement with the county of Sarasota over 1 billion gallons of partially treated nutrient-rich wastewater that went into Sarasota Bay right at the height of the red tide, you know. So this stuff is just a real problem statewide. There's a nutrient pollution crisis. It's affecting the springs. It's affecting our drinking water. It's affecting the aquifer and the way we handle our wastewater, the way we handle our drinking water, just giving it away to these some lot really bad actors like Nestle. It's just the whole system needs a lot of work and a lot of thought. You know, Governor DeSantis coming to St. Pete and attempting to pin the blame on Rick Christman does absolutely nothing to further the debate. The problems in St. Pete were happening long before Christman, and the separation of stormwater and sewage that you were talking about just a moment ago is one of infiltration when they combine in a big rain. It's called infiltration. It's why you get sewage running down the streets of that golden city. And part of our work on settling with these communities is to just force them through court action or the threat of court action to re-plumb their collection systems. Some of these communities have clay pipes still to this
day. Yeah, it's outrageous.
It goes back before the Clean Water Act. And it's so overdue. And, you know, a lot of the municipalities, agencies, cities, counties, when the dust settles after one of these settlements, they look at us and they say, you know, thank you for helping us do the right thing.
Well, Andy, I wonder,
they can't get the money.
Unless
they're sued.
You know, well, Andy, this is what I wonder is that, you know, the governor looks like he's probably leaning towards building this new toll road system, which is going to cost billions of dollars, and a lot of people don't want, right?
Yeah.
So if you've got cities like Sarasota and Gulfport and St. Petersburg and Tampa that have these old clay pipes that are some, you know, still being used to get rid of the sewage, I wonder if we don't have enough money for our infrastructure, why not instead of building this new infrastructure, take the money that the governor and Bill Galvano down there in Sarasota want to spend on toll roads and spend it on municipal water systems so we bring them up to speed so they don't leak.
Man, you are hitting the nail right on the head. That the so-called toll roads to nowhere are just the biggest boondoggle. The thing is that we are rational people, and we're sitting here assuming that there are rational reasons for all this and that there will be rational outcomes. They're not. It's just straight-up corruption. It's just, you know, throwing a bone to the big campaign donors and no more than that. And the sooner we just get to that and accept that and fight it at the ballot box, the sooner we'll be able to fix stuff. You know, if DeSantis is serious, and many people say he is, and he may well be, if DeSantis is serious about fixing the nutrient crisis in this state, he will put in nutrient numeric criteria for enforcement, and then put the enforcement out there in the field. There is virtually no enforcement. Rick Scott just sacked everybody at the FDEP and FWC who were doing enforcement, hundreds of them. They just were fired one day for no apparent reason and have not been replaced. So, you know, we don't have TMDLs. Those are numeric criteria. They have to be done pretty much on a case-by-case basis. It's a lot of work. But and then, he, you know, the sources of nutrient pollution, municipalities and counties, that's one thing. Certainly, it's a big one, but also so is big ag.
Yeah, exactly.
Big ag is extremely powerful, and he's going to have to really come up with some serious courage. But it's got to be tackled. Big Ag has to be,
Andy,
has to be regulated.
The committee hearings for the state legislature begin this week. Do you know if environmentalists are going to be there to make the case that you just made?
Well, there are 13 waterkeepers in Florida. We're going to be there.
All right, Andy, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in, too. Great call. 813-239-9663. Somebody called Love Your Pets says this: climate change is caused by humans. The meat agriculture is a huge part of global warming. If we quit eating meat, we can make a difference, writes Love Your Pets. And then Barbara says this regarding the governor's fines: if the governor want to establish his environmental credentials, as one speaker said on Florida This Week, he could have vetoed the bill that created the proposed toll roads. How can he be environmental if he allows the destruction of acres of wetlands and wildlife habitat? How can he be environmental if he agrees with paving a whole new pathway through Central Florida from Naples to the Georgia border? Now, the governor hasn't agreed yet, and I suspect I know what the governor's going to do, but we don't know. He's going to get this report in September of next year and then make up his mind. So we'll see where the governor goes on that. Let's go to Patty in Sarasota, who's been holding for a while. Patty, you're on WMNF.
Hi. I hope you can hear me okay. I think I'm on the... I just had two comments about the medical marijuana. I mean, the not medical marijuana. You know,
the recreational marijuana.
Recreational.
Yeah.
I'm totally against that because of brain development in young kids, but I'm totally for anything medicinal for people with seizures, everything on earth that would help people, you know, to derive from it anything medical that helps. I think it's too dangerous as a, quote, recreational and dangerous drive. You know, it's just to have it available, I think it's bad. Because
Would it make a difference if it was available supposedly to only people 21 and older?
No, because when I was in ninth grade, we used to stand outside the little party stores in Michigan, and people would gladly go in and buy us beer. And it can be gotten from older kids, from older people down to the youngers, because I had that experience in eighth grade. And I'll tell you, it does do something wacky to your brain. And with it being recreational, people have the chance to treat it with other chemicals, and that's a double-edged bad sword. And then the last thing I just wanted to say about the whole thing, everybody says climate, man-made climate change. It needs to be emphasized that the climate changes naturally. We exacerbate the effects of natural climate change. So we amp up the thermostatic illness that we have on our planet. So climate change is real, everybody, because it happens in, you know, through history. But now it is much worse because we exacerbate the effects of normal climate change by what we're doing.
Okay, Patty, thanks a lot. So, thank you for that.
Let's emphasize that end.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. Anita writes this regarding the Publix directive that you can't open carry in its stores. Anita says, I think it's more likely the Publix lawyers want to limit liability in the event of a gun-related violence at one of their stores, not publicity. The last time the seas were as high as they're projected to be was 100,000 years ago, writes Anita, according to the Journal of Science. Nauseating to hear that guest speak as if the current trend is normal and not caused by man, writes Anita. And let's go back to the phones. Thanks to Frank Knox, our phone producer today, and it looks like Eric in Port Richey has been holding the longest. Eric, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah, hi, Rob. I'd just like to make one point about the world's oceans. I think regardless of what you feel about climate change, you got to recognize the fact of the pollution, like the Great Garbage Patch, which is the size of Texas, they say, and the overfishing that's been going on for the last 50 years. We're killing the ocean, and if we kill the ocean, we're doomed.
Yeah,
that's
I agree. All right, Eric, thanks a lot. Good point. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Kevin writes this regarding Attorney General Moody. Kevin says, keeping AR-15s available but legal cannabis unavailable is a dubious position for any politician today. Earth to Ashley Moody, your allegiance to the NRA is showing, writes Kevin. And John writes this regarding assault weapons. John says, I think every single member of Congress should be required to watch all the security camera videos from the El Paso Walmart massacre. Moscow Mitch should be in the front row of watching this, writes John. Another John writes this, you ask the climate deniers to tell us what's causing it. If it is not CO2, their response would be, it is a natural cycle and that is it, writes John in Port Richey. And then John goes on to say, I would ask, show me the proof that the natural cycle is causing the earth to warm up today. That's John's email. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, call us up at 813-238-8001 and record a comment on my extension, which is 115. And I'll play your comment back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for the Midpoint program right here on 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for listening. And Sean Cannan is coming up next, and he's going to be talking more about climate change. So stick around for that program. Thanks to Frank Knox. He was our phone producer today. This is WMNF in Tampa.